Amen. If you haven't opened your Bible, go ahead and do that and turn to your Word or open your tablet, your PDA, whatever it might be. And also in the bulletin is an outline that goes along with the message if you find that helpful, and the PowerPoint message. This is really a second part of a message that I preached 2 weeks ago and didn't get to finish it. And if you weren't here for that first part of it, I invite you to check it out on the website, or you can get a CD of that again. And again, thanks to Colby. Great testimony. Enjoyed listening to that, Colby. There was a lot of things in there that I didn't know, and I appreciated your testimony. You know, he mentioned that I had challenged him. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be ready. Always be prepared to give an answer to those who ask you for the hope that is within you. The hope, the faith, the reason of your hope within you. Always be ready. And so all of us need to be prepared, you know, to share that. And again, if you didn't hear Colby's message, check it out on the website or order a CD. I started this message, and some of this is going to be review, but I'll do it real fast and move into what I want to move into today. This doesn't happen to me very often, you know, but right before the service, in between Sunday school and the service, I was in the back, and just getting myself ready, contemplating the word of the Lord, and the Lord just dropped a word in my spirit. He just said, tell them about my plan. Now, that's actually embedded in my message, and so I'm going to give preference to that portion of it. So some of this I'll try to fill in the blanks as best I can, but, you know, if I don't get to them all, please understand. And that those things will be on the website as well. But I talked last time about the fact that you and I can have wisdom from the Lord, from the Spirit. You and I can have wisdom from the Lord, from the Spirit, and that wisdom will be an understanding of the plan that God has, His plan of restoring all things in Christ, and also your plan, your part. You ever see somebody that's scheming? And you can tell that they have a plan, that something's going on. I mean, you know, you can see hints of it, right? My brother's been scheming the last couple of days here. I'm kind of expecting something, and ushers, please be ready to tackle him if he tries anything. You can tell when someone is kind of scheming. You know, there's certain things that are being done purposefully. And if you begin to put those things together, you begin to see, man, there's something going on. There's a plan. Well, guess what? God has given us hints like this in the Word over and over again. When you come to the New Testament, it's full-blown. He gives us full-blown the fact that He has a plan, a mystery, He calls it. He has a secret, and He has revealed it to us. And guess what? He loves you and me so much that He wants to reveal more and more of it to you. He wants to reveal more and more of it. So the main point is that God's Spirit reveals His wisdom to us, those of us who belong to Christ, who have the Spirit of Christ, as we seek to understand and obey the deep things of God. As I mentioned here, wisdom, we talked about the fact that wisdom, you know, especially for the Greek culture, wisdom was preeminent. Sophia. Wisdom was preeminent. And they just focused on that all the time. And what Paul's making a distinction here is between the difference between worldly wisdom and God's wisdom. Difference between wisdom that we might receive from the spirit of the world versus wisdom that we receive from the Spirit of God. And understand this, that, you know, there's an understanding of God, His nature, His plans, that we have to understand. There's a nature of God that we must understand. He gives us wisdom. Why? Why? Well, He gives us wisdom so we can, you know, just go out and make $1 million and you know, just enjoy life and lavish it on ourselves and spend it on ourselves. No, that isn't it at all. There's a greater point. There's a greater purpose. Let me define wisdom again. Wisdom is truth and understanding of God, His nature, His plans, and the life that I'm living. It really includes my life. But it's not just that, it's also the application of that truth, of that wisdom, of that nature of God, of the plans He has is an application of it to our lives. That's what wisdom is. It's understanding God's truth and then being able to apply it in my life. And watch this. I'm also receiving this wisdom, receiving God's secret wisdom and His plan so that I can participate in the restoration that God is doing. Jesus Christ has been the pinnacle, the culmination of God's plan. He brought us and restored us back to Himself. And so when we come to Christ, we receive His Spirit, and His Spirit begins to reveal these things to us. And really, you know, as we've talked about this, you know, coming to Christ and getting saved, that's just step one. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 6, it says it's an elementary thing. It's just a basic thing. So coming to Christ, listen, you stay with me, say amen. We're not going to go real long, but a little bit long. In a little while, we'll be done. What was that preacher at the sister conference that I went to a few weeks ago? He said, you know the preacher's not done until he says, I'm finishing three times. And even then, he's lying, so, you know. But there's a reason, there's a purpose that God has in revealing His plan to you and me. It's more than just coming to Him and getting saved. Hey, I'm good to go. I'm going to heaven. You know, I'm forgiven of my sins. There's so much more than that. And unfortunately, it's not being taught in the church today. You know, there's lots of churches that, you know, get people saved, and we need to do that. Now, I'm not belittling that in any way. Get people saved and, you know, help them do the best they can in life. That is not God's plan. Get them saved so that they can begin to be lovers of God and seek Him and then understand their part in the plan that God has of restoration of all things. God's secret wisdom, we're told, is from Ephesians 7 through 10, is the fact that, and I'm really skipping a lot of things here, Ephesians 1, 7 through 10, it's that God is bringing all things together under one head, that is, even Christ. God is bringing all things together, that is, all things on heaven and earth together under one head, even Jesus Christ. That's chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 10. And he says in this that there's a secret wisdom that God has revealed. What is this wisdom? What is this secret wisdom that God has revealed to us? He says right here that He's revealed it to us. It's this. It's a revealing of who God is, His holiness, His nature, His justice, His righteousness. You see, you know, in order to worship Him, you have to know God correctly. I appreciate it. In Colby's message, he said that he didn't really know God. He thought of God as sort of a policeman, an officer, just getting, you know, he's like that officer on 50 that's just trying to catch you, right? As you break the speed limit and you go 65, 75, 85, however fast you're going. It's like God's like that officer, just waiting to catch you. That's not God's nature at all. Now, to be sure, there is justice. God is perfectly just. But He wants us to understand who He is. That's why He has revealed Himself, His nature, to us. We're talking about this in Sunday school class. You know, we have the Old Testament, right? And God has revealed Himself through His Word, through the laws. He revealed Himself to His people. But that wasn't enough, was it? He revealed Himself to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us. And so God wanted to reveal Himself in the flesh, in person, to us, so that we understand His nature. And so God reveals His holiness to us. He reveals His nature. Another aspect of His secret wisdom is that He reveals the saving work of atonement through Christ. In fact, we're told it's the plan of the ages past. In fact, you know, right here in this passage it said, you know, this is something that was hidden. It was hidden, right? Paul talks about the fact that this was hidden. These are things that God has revealed these things to us because He wants us to know them. In fact, He even makes a statement, verse 7, no, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. You remember last time I talked about the fact, well, where was this hidden? Where does God hide things? Well, it was hidden in His mind. If it was before the beginning of time, it was hidden in His mind. He hid these things from us but he revealed them in his time to us. And now, by the Spirit, he is revealing these things to us. So he reveals his nature, he reveals his work of atonement and redemption in Christ, and now he's revealing, in these beginning of these last days, the culmination of restoring all things under Christ. One head under Christ. You might say, okay, I understand all that, but what does that mean for me? Listen, he wants you to participate in the restoration that he has of all things. You have a part. I have a part. So let's go through this real quick. So God's secret wisdom is the restoration of all things through his Son, Jesus Christ. And you and I are included in that. So number one, you know, and I always bring this up, you and I have to have come to Christ. You won't have the Spirit of Christ if you have not come to him. If you're sitting here today and you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, then a lot of what I'm going to say to you is foolishness. I mean, the Scripture even said that, right? You'd be like, I don't know what this preacher's talking about. I have no idea what he's talking about. And it might be that you don't have the Spirit of God in your heart. If you receive Christ, if you invite Jesus Christ to come in, then the Holy Spirit comes into you. The Spirit of God begins to give you revelation and understanding of his Word. Now, the gospel, the basic premise of the gospel can be understood by anyone, by a child. Jesus said, even a child knows these things. What do you need to know? Well, number one, I'm a sinner. I've sinned before a holy God, and I deserve death and hell. I'm separated from God because of sin. Number two, Jesus Christ was sent by God the Father to be a sin offering, a sin sacrifice for us. And then, the third element is you and I must personally and specifically put our faith in Christ, transfer our trust from ourselves to Jesus Christ or anything else that we've been trusting in, transfer it to Christ and trust him, believe that he is God's Son, risen from the dead, and will return. And it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what? Oh, that was pathetic. You will be what?
Saved.
Saved from what? Saved from the penalty of sin. Saved from the presence of sin. And ultimately, the power of sin, and ultimately the presence of sin. And a few weeks ago I preached on that new earth, that new heaven, new earth, the new Jerusalem, where there will not be any presence of sin. And we all look forward to that, amen? God planned all this before time. So you have to have come to Christ. Have you received Christ? Are you here this morning? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? See, it's the catalytic event in your life. You know, when I came to Christ years ago, all my friends, they just thought I'd lost it. They were just like, what? I guess I kind of did, didn't I? Thanks, by the way, this is JoJo's new water for me, P.T.'s holy water for his sermon. So. Thank you, bro. I need that. Thank you. Hey, I appreciate he's actually, you know, he's thinking about me, man. Thanks, man. Love you, bro. All right. When I came to Christ, my friends thought I'd lost it. I mean, you know, riding motorcycles, having a good time, large in life. And then all of a sudden, you know, my whole focus was like, stop. What are you doing? What are you doing with your life, Tom? What are you doing? So I came to Christ, and I'm trying to explain this to my friends, and they're just not getting it. They're like, looking at me, what? And they just didn't get it, you know. I remember I invited a bunch of my friends for the first sermon that I ever preached at the little Nazarene church we were going to. The pastor was very brave, very nice, let me preach. I'd never preached before, and invited all my friends to come. And I think maybe one or two came. And, you know, I probably wasn't very kind in my sermon. I'm trying to preach hellfire and brimstone, get my friends saved, not realizing it's the Spirit of God that does not me. Anyway, I remember at the end, one of my friends, Don, you know, I saw him at the door, and he was like, okay, that was good, bye, you know. He was gone, and he really didn't even talk to me after that. He, you know, they just didn't understand. They didn't get it. You will not understand the things of God. The things that the Spirit is revealing, you won't understand if you don't have the Spirit of God within you. So that's just the kind of step one. The Spirit sent from the Father reveals Christ and the mystery of Christ that was hidden to us. It's the catalytic event in our lives. Okay, We're going to fast forward. Now, verse 16. As opposed to the natural man, we who have the Spirit of God in our life, we have the mind of Christ. I want you to think about that for just a minute. Here's God's plan. Part of His plan. It's not the whole thing. Part of it. Part of God's plan is to replace your sinful mind, my sinful mind. He replaces it through the Spirit with the mind of Christ. It's you know, by the Holy Spirit, it's like He injects into us the mind of Christ. And all of a sudden, we start thinking, our mind is transformed, I start to actually think, I start to actually do things differently, I actually have a desire to stop doing certain things that don't bring glory to God, and actually start doing things, you know, to show my love for Him, that I want to do it. I want to love Him. And so the Holy Spirit gives us the mind of Christ. The word here is noe. It means, watch this, it means the understanding and the capacity to understand. I want you to just think about that for a second. Some of y'all have said this, you know, I just don't understand the word. It's too complicated. You know, there's just too much in there. I just don't get it. You have, if you've come to Christ, you have the mind of Christ. You have the capacity, the supernatural capacity, to understand the things of God. The deep things of God. Now, that doesn't come overnight. We talked about that last time. He gives this to us in a seed form. He gives it in a package. You know, one of the hobbies I have is I like buying computers or getting computers and fixing them. And cars, too. Yeah, and cars, too. But computers are a whole lot easier to deal with, you know. And one of the things you have to do is most of them have some kind of an issue with either the hardware or the software, and you have to reinstall things, right? But guess what? You know, even with Windows, like Windows 7 or Windows 8, when you install it, it's not all there. You have to add updates. You have to put in upgrades. You have to put in other programs, like Windows, Microsoft Office, or if you're using OpenOffice or whatever you're using, or maybe you're using Apple products. You know, it comes in a package, and you have to install it. And guess what? You and I are supposed to read the instructions, or the instructions on the screen, where it says do this, do that, insert this, you know. Of course, a lot of us don't do that. We're like, what's wrong with this computer? It's not working. Well, a lot of people will call me up. I say, well, do you have the restore disk? Or do you have the original disk? Just pop it in, and it'll give you instructions. And so it is with the Spirit of God. He comes in, and He deposits in us the mind of Christ. And then we have to seek to grow, because He wants to reveal the deep things. Watch this. He wants to reveal the deep things of God to you and to me. He uses this illustration as the Spirit. No one knows the insides of a man. No one knows the deep things of a man except the Spirit of a man, right? A lot of you know me, and I know you. Some of you I know better than others, including my brother, or mostly my brother. You know, but we don't really know one another except for what we reveal to one another. But my Spirit knows everything about me. Everything. But you see, you're not going to know me like that, because I'm only going to let you know what I want you to know. Right? So it is, he says, with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God knows the deep things of God's nature, His heart. And He wants to reveal those things to you and to me, but it comes in a seed form. And so He wants to reveal, firstly, He wants to reveal Himself to you, His nature. Some of y'all, you know, you're struggling with who God is. Some of you have not come to understand who God truly is, that He's not the man upstairs. He's not my best buddy. He's not just the judge who wants to squash me and stomp me, no. But He is who He is. When Moses asked God, who are you? He says, I am who I am. What was He saying to Moses? He said, you can't understand me. You can only understand what I reveal about myself. When I say I am who I am, I'm saying to you, I am the Eternal One. I exist in myself. I need no one else. I am who I am. And then, of course, He reveals more and more to Moses as He goes along. You remember the time that, I mean, Moses was pretty jazzed at all this. You remember the time Moses asks Joseph, yeah, that's his brother. Moses asks God, I want to see your glory. You remember that? He said, I want to see, God, I want to see you. Man, you've revealed yourself to me a little bit. I'd like to see you. It's kind of like the wedding day. You know, the groom, he wants to see his bride, but he can't. She's got a veil over her, you know, she's got a beautiful dress and he's got to wait. Can't see her yet. And God says to Moses, no, you can't see me yet. In fact, if you really see me, you will die. But you know what, Moses? I like you so much. I will let you see my backside. That's what it says, folks. And so he says, I'm gonna pick you up, Moses. I'm gonna put you in the cleft of a rock. And as I go by, I'm gonna cover you with my hand. But as I go past you, I will release my hand and I will let you see the glory of my backside. Now, try to figure that out. Try to get your mind around. Okay. They had little for my jokes. Yeah. Okay. Oh my. I hope we can get through this. And so he honors Moses' requests, and he says, I will let you see my glory. And what is he really meaning there? Just, he gives Moses a glimpse of his glory. How many of you want that? You want to see a glimpse of God's glory. You want to see a glimpse of God. I mean, we see God in the flesh in Christ, right? But we don't have Jesus, you know, in the flesh here. We have him through the Word, right? In fact, there is a very early tradition. I think it's in the 3rd century. Someone who supposedly, we don't know if it's valid or not, of giving a picture or a caricature of who Jesus was physically, and they can't verify it, so we know if it's true. But it talks about the fact he had shorter reddish wine hair that flowed and a wine colored beard. Now, is that true? I don't know. But many of us would like to know who Jesus, what he looked like. And we'd like to have been there, right? We want to have been there to heard these things, see him perform his miracles. But we don't have that. We have the Word, right? And the Word is true. All the Word is true, amen? And we find the description of what Jesus has done and who he is and his heart, his nature. And he says, I reveal the Father to you. But we want more than that. We want to see God. We want to know him. And guess what? You can. Now, time is coming when we are going to get to see him face to face. Amen? That's going to be awesome. Time is coming. But right now, the Spirit of God wants to reveal the deep things to you about himself. He wants to reveal his heart to you. He wants to reveal his nature to you. He wants to reveal his plan to you. He wants to reveal deep things. Then he wants to reveal, watch this, you still with me? Say amen. He wants to reveal things about your life. Ooh. Here's the problem today, folks. We never shut down long enough to listen to God. Now, I'm guilty of it, too. We have so many distractions. In fact, some of you here this morning and you're handling your distraction right now. You're texting, you're playing games, you're hopefully taking notes. If you're doing that, that's great. Some of you are already tuned out. We've gone 20 minutes and you're tuned out already. We have so many distractions in this life, you know. Some of y'all thinking about the plans that you have for the rest of the day. Some of you think about the roast that you've got cooking or whatever you're going to make for dinner. Friends coming over, plans. So, you know, I preach once a week, folks. Once a week, and I get complaints that we go past, 45 minutes, an hour. So thank you very much, Colby. Thank you. His message was 27 minutes. It's actually pretty good. We just don't get quiet enough before God. And see, what God wants to reveal to you, he wants to reveal about your life. You see, because we don't even understand sometimes about ourselves. We can't comprehend the things our own spirit, you know, is trying to express to us. We need the Spirit of God to actually spiritually discern it. Right? Because some of you all might be sitting there like, well, you know, I feel like I talk too much. I talk too much. And you know what? There's a reason that you're wired that way. God maybe is calling you to be one of His voices, one of His mouthpieces. You might be there, well, you know, I don't have anything to say. I'm quiet. I never say anything. And, you know, what could God ever do with me? Well, guess what? You're looking at it the wrong way. The Spirit of God can reveal to you that He wants you to become a person who has intricate plans for Him. You know, somebody that maybe can improve the flights of Mission Aviation Fellowship. Maybe He's given you a mind to comprehend, you know, how to better orchestrate things like that. Maybe organize and administrate the things that He has. You know, there's a lot of ministries that they need help organizing and administrating. I'm so thankful for Sue, and our church secretary in the office. She's tremendous at administration and really, really keeps us straight, doesn't she, Ash? Really keeps us straight. Listen, God wants to reveal to you things about your life. Because a lot of times you look at your life and you're like, man, God, I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. What do I have to offer you, God? What could you use of me? And you know what? He has made you special. He has created you. I love that song, "You're the Only You." There could never be another you. He's made you special. And He has a special purpose for your life. The other things that He wants to reveal to you is, oh, by the way, I wrote this down. When you want to understand God's plans and purposes, I invite you, read Job chapters 1 and 2. You can't read the whole book. I know it's a long book. So if you struggle with that and you can't read the whole book, just read chapters 1 and 2 and chapters 39 through 42. And you ask the Spirit of God to give you a revelation about the nature of God. You want to understand something about God, there's a big chunk of revelation right there. You know the story of Job. He gets, you know, terribly, terribly afflicted, loses his family, loses his wealth, you know, all kinds of terrible things, ends up sitting in a pile of clamshells, scraping himself because he's got boils from head to toe. Well, God wants everybody to be blessed and prosper. Tell that to Job. And he's mad. He's mad as a hornet. God, I'm righteous and look what you've done to me. Sounds like a reasonable statement, doesn't it? At the end of the book of Job, God says, oh, you want to understand my ways, huh? You're challenging me, accusing me. He says, brace yourself, Job. Brace yourself like a man, for I'm going to speak to you like a man. Brace yourself. And then he starts off and he says, where were you before the mountains were formed? Where were you when I created the seas and the creatures? Where were you, Job, when I did all of these things? You can't even understand these simple things. How would you understand my ways? Isaiah 55, for my ways are much higher than your ways, says the Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways. But the beautiful thing is, God wants to reveal these things. He wants to reveal these things little by little in your life and my life. But you have to seek Him. He has a plan. He has a destiny for you. Because Colossians 1, 25 through 27, He has a plan. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And He wants you to participate in this restoration of people, restoration of all things. So you're sitting here today, and you might ask, well, Pastor, you're talking about these plans and destiny that God has for my life. I can't even seem to get my life together. You know what? If you'll get on track and God begins to show you what He has for you, guess what? It will motivate you. It will exhilarate you. Listen, if you know what God has for you, you will be pumped. You will be primed. I can remember this in junior college. I was going to junior college and, you know, taking classes, general classes, and then I was like, well, I'm going to go into this electronic engineering program because, hey, computers are on the horizon, and this is going to be a pretty good deal, and it sounds like a good thing. But, you know, I was like, okay, you know, this sounds good. This is something I can do. I'll enjoy. Got into the classes, and it's like, okay, you know, this is fun. I'm enjoying this. I don't know. There was something missing. I wasn't passionate about this. And then I get a call to go into ministry. I get a call from God, you know, that I'm going to be a preacher. And that's a whole other story. I've preached about that. And it was like, what? What, me? No. You got the wrong person here. You know? And fast forward through that, and He has given me a passion to preach His Word. Listen, I'm very blessed because I get to do what I love, and y'all pay me for it. I love preaching His Word. I love teaching. I love pastoring you and encouraging you. And I get to do it in full time, and I get paid a salary out of it. It's awesome. But you ask me, you know, in 1979, I'm trying to sneak a little less years there. By the way, it's my dear sweetie's birthday today. God bless you, dear. Love you. Happy birthday. She told me not to do that. It's better, easier to ask forgiveness and permission sometimes. Anyway, 1979, if you were to tell me... lame. If you were to ask me, what do you think about going into the ministry? What do you think about it? I'd be like, I don't have a clue what this means, and I'm scared to death. God's got the wrong person. You know, now not that I'm great or consider myself some great preacher or anything, but I have a passion for His Word. I have a passion to share His Word with you. And listen, I have a passion because God put His hand on me and said, this is what I want you to do. This is what I have for you in my plan of restoration. And guess what? God has a part. He has a plan for you in His plan of restoration. You might be sitting here and say, oh, Pastor, you know, I'm older and, you know, my life's, you know, pretty much midlife or older, you know. We're not done till we're done. You've got people all around you. Listen, you've got people all around you that are never going to come talk to me. They're never going to come to this church. In fact, you mention the word church to them and they'll snarl at you and they'll tell you, you know, one of their battle stories or how they got wounded and, you know, or whatever it may be. You have people around you in your sphere of influence that God's going to use you to reach that I will never touch, that Ashley will never touch, as excited he is about sharing Jesus with people. And you can begin to tell people, listen, there's more to this life than just living and making money and dying and then hopefully, you know, there's some kind of afterlife, you know. There's more to it than that. You can know for certain that Jesus Christ has saved you and He's got a plan for your life and the whole plan of restoration that's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. We're at the beginning of the last days. We were talking about this in Sunday school class and, you know, someone was talking about, oh, it's getting so bad, it's terrible. Baby, we ain't seen nothing yet. It's coming. Things are happening in this world. It's coming. You know, ISIS over in Iraq, they are trying to establish, they're close to doing it. They're trying to establish an Islamic state run by Sharia law. That's what they're trying to do. An extreme Muslim state dominated and run by Sharia law. That's what they're trying, that's their goal. Let me ask you a question. What if you had a moderate Muslim leader, somebody who would sit down and talk, to stop the killing, stop the terrorism, stop the war, put it on hold a minute, all right, let's sit down and talk. And what if he began to rally behind him all of these fragmented groups? What if he began to consolidate them, all these Muslim countries? What if he began to say, listen, to them privately, in order to achieve our goal, we have to do it through a moderate way. Can you imagine the power that such a person would have? I think we get a hint from the Word in here, another piece of God's secret wisdom. He's called the man of sin. The man of sin in 2 Thessalonians. A lot of people said they think he's a European. I don't think so. As I've studied the Word, as I've studied the world scene, I believe he's going to come from a Muslim background. He's going to be a moderate Muslim who is going to be able to bring together the warring factions And man, can you imagine bringing all those factions together? What's the first thing they would control? All the oil. You want to talk about bringing things to a grinding halt. And this is just one piece. Things are happening fast in this world today. We're entering into, you know, this whole season. You know, Jesus talked about it, Matthew 24. We're moving into it. And we're not to be afraid. We're really to be excited because it means Jesus is at the doorstep. And you and I have a part to play. Listen, I hope you're not coming here just for church. You know, if you're here today and you're visiting, you know, God bless you. But understand, we have a part to play. It's not just about coming and have a nice church service and then I go do my thing for the rest of the week. God has a plan for you and for me. And He wants us to come together and to pray and seek Him, seek the deep things of the Lord, so that we can be ready and we can be doing our part. As you think about this, you see, and this is the problem. We don't think about this much during the week. Think about the people that are all around you in your workplace, your school place, places you hang out. Think about that for just a second. How many of them need Jesus? Now, I'm not going to put a guilt trip on you. That's not what this is about. But just think about that. What if you began to form a hit list? What if you began to put a hit list together and say, God, you know, it just seems to me that this person you've put in my workplace, they just seem, I don't know, there's something about them, they seem open to the things of the Lord. Put them on your list. Begin to pray for them. How about come out Wednesday night and press in intercession? You've got plenty of room. There's only a handful of us that come out to intercession on Wednesday night. Oh, Pastor, I really like to see so-and-so saved. I really like to see their marriage healed. I'd love to see their finances healed. I'd love to see their family relationships are broken. I'd love to see them healed. Well, are you pressing into God for that? Are you praying? Are you interceding? You know, not that it's dependent on us, but you see, how are you going to know what God wants you to do if you don't press in? How are you going to know and hear the voice of the Spirit if you don't press in, if you don't listen? Take time in His Word. He wants to reveal things. That's the thing that just jazzes me. He actually wants to reveal these things to you and to me. I'm nothing special. Folks, I'm nothing special. I've told you this before. I'm just a man that God has said, preach your word. And so you're sitting here. God wants to reveal some very deep, special things to you. I could go on and on. But I'm not going to. Because we're going to have a time of healing ministry here at the front. As I close in prayer and we dismiss, I invite anyone who would like to come and be prayed for healing. We have anointing oil and we pray and anoint people according to James chapter 5. And if that's you and you want God's healing, you want His touch in your life, not only physical healing, it could be the whole healing of your spirit, healing of your marriage, healing of your finances, you come and our elders would be glad to pray over you and anoint you. In the name of the Lord. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank You that You have called us to Yourself, Lord. You've called us to be Yours. You've called us out of the earth to be Your treasured possession, Lord. As You called the people of Israel, Lord, we are the wild shoots grafted into the true vine and into Christ, and You've called us to be Yours. Father, I pray for Your word, Your revelation, to go deep into the hearts of Your people. Oh, Father, give us a longing to know You, to know who You are in our lives, Lord, to know what You want to do in our lives, Lord. It's not dependent on us, but we have to follow You. Father, stir up a fire within us that we would want to know more than anything what You have for our lives, Lord. I bless these people. Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know You, has not come to that place of knowing Jesus, Lord, let this be the day. Your word says today is the day of salvation. If you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. As we close the service, if you need to receive Christ, you come forward at the end, and there'll be those here that can lead you in a prayer to receive Christ and begin this walk with Him. You'll receive the Spirit of God in your life. And your eyes will be opened. You begin to see the deep things that God has for you. Father, I bless these people. I bless them in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, Amen. First time, folks, I'd love to meet you in the lobby. If you want prayer, come on up front here. Our elders will minister and pray over you.